so much.
Anne and Shannon and Chloe, I'm not smart enough to have the right adjectives for that. So, amen. Thank you so much for sharing that beautiful, beautiful song with us this morning. Reading from Genesis chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. Very, very familiar scripture in your life, I'm sure, as a Christian. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and He called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." You know, I've always been very interested in languages. I don't know why that is. There's something about listening to and understanding different languages that is just, it's just amazing to me how people in different parts of the world speak in a different way and communicate and understand one another. Probably one of my bucket list items, and if you know me, I've got a pretty big old bucket. But one of my bucket list items is to try to learn more languages. I just think it's a very interesting thing to learn. I'm not really sure where that interest actually came from. Back when my brother, the next to youngest to me, my brother was probably in the 9th or the 10th grade. He was taking a Spanish class at school at that particular time. And my brother was a pretty sharp guy, and he was picking up on it pretty quickly, and he would come home and he would try it out on me. He would tear off a sentence in Spanish to me, and I was just amazed at it. And then he would tell me what it translated into. And I kind of begged him over and over, "Teach me one. Teach me a sentence. Teach me something that I can say in Spanish and know what I'm saying when I say it." And I begged him to do that. And finally, he gave in, and he shared with me a sentence in Spanish that I could share. Now, honestly, I had to trust him on what he was telling me was really true. I had to trust him that the words were actually a sentence and not just some random Spanish words being thrown together. I had to trust him that the words he was giving me were not foul language in Spanish or something like that, that he was setting me up to get myself in big trouble. But he gave me this sentence, and if you've been around me much, especially not in worship services, you've probably heard me say this sentence before that my brother taught me when I was probably in the 5th or 6th grade, and it's kind of stuck with me the whole time. He gave me this sentence in Spanish, "Hago en usted a favor, tomo asiento." That was it. "Hago en usted a favor, tomo asiento." Now, if you're a Spanish scholar, or if you know Spanish, and if I said something ugly, I'm sorry. I mean, it's just what my brother told me was a sentence in Spanish. But if you can translate that and tell me what it says, that would be fine. I'll tell you what he told me I was saying. What he told me I was saying was, "Why does that little fat boy keep eating potato chips?" Now, I'm not sure why he chose that sentence to teach me, and for the life of me, it's been close to 50 years. I've never found an appropriate context to use that Spanish sentence in somewhere where I was speaking. But I guess that was probably the beginning of my love for languages and my love to try to understand how languages work. I was really excited when I went into seminary, and in seminary at Vanderbilt, you were required to take certain number of courses in Hebrew and in Greek, and I was really excited about that and having to take those specific courses. The Greek was a lot of fun and really not that difficult, but if there was a favorite, if there was a language that to me is just my favorite all-time language of all, it would have to be Hebrew. Besides the fact that you have to read it from right to left instead of left to right, Hebrew is probably the most beautiful, most descriptive, most poetic language that I've ever heard. It's just like a sonnet. It's like a poem when you hear it spoken in the right way. There are literally words in Hebrew. It is so descriptive that there's not an English word for it. There are words in Hebrew that it takes several English sentences and phrases in order to begin to describe what this Hebrew word says. I had an absolutely brilliant Hebrew professor when I was in seminary, and I remember the very first day, it was one of our first classes, our first year in seminary, and I was sitting in this classroom with a bunch of young people, and here comes this Hebrew professor into the classroom. He takes his backpack and lays down his papers, and he kind of leans over the podium. And before he says even a single word to us in English, before he says anything in English to us, he leans over the podium and he says to us, Bereshith bara Elohim. And we look at each other like, what? Did he just tell us to get out? I mean, what was he saying? None of us knew really what he was saying to us. And then he leaned over the podium and even more fervently, he said to us, Bereshith bara Elohim. And then he said, in the beginning, God. He said, I don't care if you learn anything else in my class. I don't care if you really pick up on anything else. But you need to learn in this class something that will carry on with you for the rest of your life. In the beginning, God. Now, after that, he had me hooked. I mean, this professor saw this great power and meaning just in these first four words that were in the Holy Scriptures. He saw how these first four words can change your life and your perspective of life forever. That regardless of your position, regardless of your challenge, regardless of the struggle that you might be going through in your life, you can always go back to the fact that in the beginning, God, everything started with Him. Everything originated with God. He controls all of it. He controls all of creation. God has no creator. He has no allegiance to someone or something that formed and created him at some point in the past. God has no birthday. He has no beginning. He owes his existence to no one and to nothing. He is eternal. In the beginning, before anything else, in the beginning, God. Now, the guy who wrote Genesis, who happens to be Moses, when he decided to take this oral tradition of Genesis and put it down in writing on paper, he recognized this. Moses said nothing about the origin of God in Genesis chapter 1. He said nothing about God's beginning because he knew the truth. If you go to Exodus chapter 3, when God introduces himself to Moses and tells Moses he wants Moses to be the one to go to the Pharaoh and get the Egyptians to release the Israelite people, and Moses said back to God, well, surely they're going to ask me who sent me. I mean, who should I say has sent me to do this? Who, of what authority do I have to ask this of them? And God said, you go tell them I am. You just tell them I am. Which means what God is basically saying is, I'm the one who is always. I was is, I am is, I will be is. I is the Izzy one. That's what God's saying. I'm always in the present tense. I'm the one who is, and I'm the one who has sent you. God is and always is, and Moses knew that. That's why Moses, when he began the book of Genesis, he said, Bereshith bara Elohim, in the beginning. God, in the beginning. Now, God, this God who has always been with us, this God who has always existed, at some point in eternity decided, it's time to create. It's time to do some creating. And you know, he didn't have to do that. There was no requirement for him to do creation. But he decided to enter into this this creative process. And we need to understand that. Creation is a process. Even for God, creation is a process, and it remains a process in our lives. God didn't just snap his fingers and, whoop, there it is. There's creation. It's all done. It says that he made the heavens and the earth. And when he made them, they were formless and void. And there was darkness over the surface of the deep. Now, we tend to equate darkness with evil. That's not what it's saying. God did not create evil. He created this formless and void and empty place called the heavens and the earth that was very, very dark, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of it. The Spirit of God was there. At this point in the process, he had created this world that was just a mess. I mean, but it's a part of the creative process. It was formless. It was void. It had darkness. But there was no evil there. It was just dark, without meaning, without purpose, without direction. It was a world, the heavens, the earth, and the darkness that needed something else, but it was still a part of that creative process. You know, sometimes when God's creating things, there's a time of chaos, right? Sometimes when God's doing things and working things and going through this creative process, even in our lives today, sometimes when God's doing that, there can be times of uncertainty, times of chaos, times of where we wonder what the meaning of all this is. That's what was going on. At this point in the creative process, the world was dark, the world was chaotic. There was no sense of purpose, there was no reasoning, there was no direction. But God was still in the process of creating everything. And then God changed everything, didn't he? You remember what he did? He brought light. He brought light upon this void, this emptiness, this chaos. He brought light unto it. And he said that this light that he brought was good, and that light came, and now everything made sense. Now everything had purpose. Now everything had a meaning to it. But here's the interesting part of this. The interesting part of the first five verses in Genesis chapter 1 is God didn't just create light. He separated it from the darkness. He said, here's dark. This is night. Here's the light. That it's day. He distinguished them. He made them a clear choice. He distinguished between the two of them. He separated the light from the darkness, not representing separating good from evil. That wasn't what he was doing at all. He was separating confusion and chaos in life from meaning and purpose in life. That's what he was separating. Here's the voidness, the confusion, the chaotic part. Here's the light that is good. You know, prior to the fall of man, which came later in the book of Genesis that you read, prior to the fall of man, all creation was just good. God had created what was good, and it was good in this creative process. And we need to always remember that the fall of man and the entrance of sin into the world did not make creation bad. Creation remained good. God cannot create bad. The creation remained a good thing, and while sin can real negatively affect our lives and destroy us in many ways, it doesn't take creation and remove the evaluation of good to God's creation. And all you have to do is to read the scriptures to see that that's true. God says over and over again, even after sin had entered into the world, God said over and over again, my creation is precious in my sight. I crown my creation with glory and honor. This is my special treasured possession. I mean, God still sees his creation as good. So God created this good light. He separated the light from the darkness. And it says there was evening, there was morning, and that was the first day. And you know, if you read on, there's a second day, and there's a third day. And there's a fourth day. And this process of creation has never stopped. This process of creation has continued on. It's this dynamic process where God sometimes even includes us in that process. I've sat and wondered many times, if this was day one, and then there was day two, three, four, five, and on and so forth, I thought, I wonder what day today is to God. What creation day is today for God? For me, and I did this, I figured this out amazingly enough, but for me, this is my day, 22,092. This is my 22,092nd day as God's creation. And as a part of that creation, sometimes I've chosen the light. We have a choice, and sometimes I've chosen to be a part of that creative process and be a part of the light which God has created that is good. Sometimes I've chosen that. Sometimes I've chosen to be a part of kindness and understanding and forgiveness and unconditional love and all of those things that we're supposed to be doing as a part of this light, creating a world that has some meaning and purpose. I've tried to stay in the light, but you know, sometimes we can wander off into the darkness, can't we? And sometimes life can just push us into the darkness. Not evil, darkness. Not evil, chaos, confusion, misunderstanding, difficulty in our lives. These times in our lives when it feels like life has shoved us off and taken us off course and pushed us off into some sort of darkness in our lives. You ever been that place? Are you in darkness right now, maybe? Has life taken you on a turn to where you feel like the darkness is kind of closing in on you? Maybe through a death or a loss or fear, illness, trials in your life, challenges that have come into your life. Look, we all get confused once in a while. We all wander off into the darkness once in a while. We all lose our direction once in a while. We all lose our sense of purpose once in a while and have to kind of recalibrate and figure out our sense of purpose again. And life can feel pretty chaotic once in a while. But you know what I've learned? And this Hebrew professor at Vanderbilt years ago taught me this. Bereshith bara Elohim. In the beginning, God. You want to get back to the light? In the beginning, God. You want to find purpose and meaning in your life that you've kind of lost, or maybe you've never had it? In the beginning, God. He is constantly creating, and sometimes that creative process can be confusing. Sometimes that creative process can be chaotic in our lives. Sometimes he's as he's creating a new strength in you, or as he is creating some deeper faith in you, sometimes that can be difficult, and sometimes it can be trying, and sometimes it can seem chaotic in your life and make your life feel a little dark. But the difference is from day to night. The difference is simply understanding that we go back to the beginning. We go back to, in the beginning, it was God, because that's where you'll find him. And that's where you'll find that good light that God has created to make life have meaning, to make life have purpose, to make life matter every day in your life. So if you're in the darkness right now, or if you feel an overwhelming sense that life has kicked you off the trail and into that darkness, and it's kind of pressing in on you, just remember what my Hebrew professor taught me. In the beginning, God. And that's all that matters. He's the one who takes you into the light and gives you that meaning and purpose in your life every day. Let's bow and have a prayer together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the creator of all things, that you are the one who understands when we wander off the path, that you are the one who maybe even is with us as we stray off the path, recognizing that maybe that chaos and that difficulty at times is necessary to strengthen us, to give us a new sense of faith and endurance. Father, thank you. Thank you so much that in the beginning there was you. Help us to plant our firm foundation in that fact from the very first book of the Scriptures, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Help us to plant ourselves faithfully in that truth that in the beginning there was you. Thank you, Father, that from that point on, as you have continued to create, we are a part of that great creation. That great creation that you allow us to be a part of and that you work with us every day, even through the darkness. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.